Hi, my friend. Welcome to the 1 Minute to Glory podcast. I'm your host, Alexandra Alvarez. I love to tune in with you every week. This episode, I hope that you feel refreshed or that it sparks curiosity or perhaps even gives you a different outlook on life. But at least I hope that you get something out of it. So have a listen. Welcome back, everyone. I'm thrilled to have Olivia Hudson back on the podcast today. Olivia is a dear friend, and her insights on healing are truly inspiring. So for those who haven't heard our first conversation, I invite you to listen to the very first podcast episode of this podcast. It focused on Olivia's powerful journey of healing through deep emotional wounds. We also explored how nurturing your inner child can lead to a more fulfilling life. You can find that episode titled Olivia Hudson on Healing Deep Past Wounds, Nurturing Your Inner Child for a Fulfilling Life. Today, we'll delve deeper into the concept of the inner child and explore its profound impact on various aspects of our lives. Get ready for a conversation filled with wisdom, hope, and some practical tips for connecting with your inner child and unlocking a world of personal growth. So, Olivia, welcome back. I am so excited to be here with you again.
Yes, thank you. Thank you again, Alexandra, for having me. This is excited. I think after we got off for our first episode together, I just had a lot to think about, and it was really good. And so I'm glad to be able to come back and hear with you.
Last time we spoke about your book, Caring for the Child Within, mostly why you wrote the book, to help others, to be the friend that you did not have, or a guide perhaps that has gone through this long journey of connecting with yourself, therapy, and healing. And today it's a little bit different. It's about not the past. Today, Olivia, you had in your heart to share about how connecting with the little girl within helps you connect with your daughter, because you have several children. You have a daughter as well. Does it have any impact at all, the fact that you are able to connect with more ease with that inner girl?
Yes. So we adopted our daughter when she was 4 years old. She is now 20. And so I wish I could look back and say, oh my gosh, all these things that I learned from caring for my little girl made me the perfect mother. But obviously that was not the case. What I would say is that because my daughter was adopted, it did help me to connect on a heart level, even if she couldn't understand or see, to connect that her little girl within her have also experienced things. I think it helped me to keep a heart of compassion, even when there was so much I did not understand or comprehend. I think if I had not gone through my own personal journey, it would have made being an adoptive mother much more difficult, because there will be so much I wouldn't understand about abandonment or trauma. And so I do think it's definitely helped my relationship with my daughter so much to deal with my own little girl inside and kind of like on my own journey, so that I can then watch her and her journey and not even take personal that she has to go on this journey herself. You know, sometimes as adoptive moms, it can feel like, well, I've given you everything you've wanted and I've loved you. And even though we know we're not perfect and we've made a lot of mistakes, there can be that underlying, that beneath belief that, well, if I just loved you enough, then it will be fine. But understanding that she has her own little girl that has hurt aside, and it has nothing to do with whether the type of environment or home or love that she has been given. I feel like that has helped my relationship with my daughter.
There's two things that you mentioned, and I had that in mind before even you said these words. The one is compassion, and the other one is selflessness. And I think that sometimes we take things very personally, and the suffering that we allow ourselves to experience again, that we faced, help us really gain more endurance and therefore also compassion. I was actually watching this beautiful documentary that I recommend to everyone. It's called Mission Joy, and it's about an encounter or the friendship that late Archbishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa and the Dalai Lama have or had, and the joy that they share with one another and why and where it comes from. And I remember the Archbishop saying that suffering does bring out compassion. When Nelson Mandela went to prison for 27 years, a lot of people say, what a waste, what a waste. But he says, no, there's something in the suffering that produces compassion and therefore forgiveness. And therefore, this journey within yourself and loving that little girl helped you love unconditionally, I would think. Although imperfectly, because we are learning, when in the process, we don't know what it is that we're learning that the other person needs sometimes, but it's just giving yourself that grace and then extend compassion, which is healing. She needs also to have her journey and to give her that space to heal as well and not to have it all figured out, right? That's not the case. So, does your journey also, do you see, I don't know if you had siblings, you had brothers, I don't know if you had a sister. Do you feel like it has helped you with other women? Sometimes when we cannot connect with ourselves as a woman or the child within, it's just hard to connect with other women.
Yes, I definitely will say so. I do have a brother, and then I have sisters. I think that one of the things that it helps me to connect, I'm going to speak first with my relationship with my sisters. Prior to doing my own personal work, I think I can be very judgmental of my sisters, right? Even though we all were raised in an environment where there was a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, maybe because we all handle it very differently, or we all came out of it and have went about it in dealing with our hurt in different ways. It sometimes, for me, could have felt a little judgmental. Why didn't you handle it this way? And I'm sure I probably have felt the same things, right? But I think for me, in helping this in this journey with my little girl, also allowed me to recognize that everybody has their journey. It helped me so much in my relationship with my sisters. I believe that it helped me in my relationship with my sisters to be more compassionate, to see more of their strengths, and to see them more as overcomers. And so that's the one thing that my journey has helped me also with other women. So I think sometimes as women, we can be so judgmental with each other. But
Competitive.
going on this journey, yeah, competitive, judgmental, when competitive is a big one for sure. And what I saw for me is that as I went on my journey, rather than seeing these adult grown women, I could actually see more of themselves as little girls, right? The needs, maybe the helplessness, or maybe some that felt unprotected or unseen or unwanted. And so it allowed me to look beyond the superficial and see more into the heart. And so now when I see someone, I try to be really slow judge. I heard someone say this years ago, and I hold on to this. And this is exactly how they said. They say, behind every jerk, there's a story. And now I thought that was really good, right? I don't agree to be calling people jerks. But what I did hear from that message was everyone has a story. So when I see someone, maybe their action or their behavior, especially in women, I think, what did that little girl experience? that perhaps is leading her to make choices that she doesn't like or want to make.
Yeah, I love that a lot. Definitely not be so easily offended and to see a little bit beyond. And that definitely, instead of reactive in life, we can just stop ourselves before that and extend all of the goodness. Unleash. I went to a class and it mentioned that whatever action we do, we can either unleash heaven or hell. And so we have a decision. What do we want to do? Do we want to respond and unleash a little bit more of that desperation and pain and hatred, or the opposite? And it's a decision that we can make at any time during our days, with anyone, any encounter. So that's really great. You mentioned connecting with your inner child. How do you do that? Do you have any advice on how to sit back and connect, and what is the process? Where do we start?
So I think everybody's process is different. That one I do, I think that. And everybody has a different need. For me, my need is I need a lot of inner child connection. So I spend a lot of time just connecting with myself. So my routine is every morning, I have what I call my morning ritual. I get up, and every time I incorporate something new, depending on maybe I came across an idea that I think would be good to incorporate. So this is what I've been doing for the past months now. I will get up in the morning. I think about the fact that I woke up and I'm breathing is a gift. So that is the very first thing that I think about. Then I recite my the scripture that I'm focusing on in the month, Philippians 4, whatever is true, whatever is noble. So I go through that. And then after that, I just go ahead and I do that right on my bed. And then after that, I get up and I have a little loft area where I sit down and I have all my stuff in there. And something that I've started doing, I said the past months, is I write 5 things in a journal. So 2 things that I'm learning or I'm reminded of, 2 people that I'm grateful for or I appreciate. And then I write about someone that's made a difference in my life. I write my goals for the day. And then I write, is there any area that I need personally to reflect, that I need to ask someone for forgiveness or forgive myself? I find that having a routine for me helps me to really take care of my inner child. And then I spend time reading my Bible after that. So I probably spend about a good hour and a half connecting with myself every morning. And if I can make it longer, I will. So that's what helps me. It doesn't mean it's going to be the same for everyone. But for me, I find that time in the morning is super, super crucial for the rest of my day.
Do you wake up before everyone else, or it doesn't matter? Yeah.
Yes, I do. I wake up before everybody else. I normally might wake up around 5 in the morning. So I'll wake up. Sometimes my family may get up, but now they know. They see me in my area. They say good morning and they just leave me alone. But getting up in the morning when everything is quiet is my favorite time to connect with myself, to connect with God, to think about my day.
I love your routine. I started a journal, the gratitude journal, just to mention past and present, or even things in the future that I'm grateful for, that I think about. But you mentioned about people that you're grateful for. And so that's great. That's something I'm not doing. And it's great, because the truth is, we are connected people. We cannot just live and go about life on our own. And so to think of other people, how we can forgive them, how grateful we are, it's a great habit to have. I love that. Yes.
And it doesn't have to be big, really. For example, a simple one this morning, I wrote 2 people that either made a difference in my life, or I appreciated something. So for example, this morning is, wow, I appreciated that my husband was helpful as we worked through, you know, our children's ministry that we oversee at church. And so I was grateful that he was present and that he was helpful. And someone that made a difference, it made a difference that my children came over for family dinner, because the adults.
They all moved out.
Well, we have a couple that still live at home, but we have some that live in the area. And so I think that is something we tend to overlook and lose for, because you just assume, oh, this is how it is. But when you sit down and really take time to reflect on it, you go, wow, how grateful I am that my children that live in the area will come home and have dinner. That's not a guarantee or a given with every family.
Did you enjoy spending time with you?
Yeah. Or a husband that wants to help. Those are the things that if I don't intentionally sit down and reflect, I can take for granted.
That's so true, especially with the people that we live with. It's easier to forgive someone on the outside, but to be mindful and grateful for forgiving the people within the family, that says a lot, definitely. So that's great. Do you feel that you still have these moments where you don't connect easily, or it's less and less, or do you still have those? You mentioned panic attacks. Does it still flare up? Do you see a change?
Yes, all the above.
Yes.
For me, what I have found over the years is that talking about my inner child gives me the accountability to continue to work on her. So I enjoy speaking on this topic because then it's on my mind. And I can constantly reflect on that because, yes, truthfully, it is very easy for me even to ignore my inner child. I remember having a conversation with a friend once. And it was funny. I was sharing with her some things that I was really feeling. And she goes, I think you should spend time with your inner child. And I replied, spend time with her right now. And as soon as I said it out loud, I knew this is what I needed to do. So I do. I sometimes just forget, don't make the time. But then I do pay for it when I ignore that inner child. And as far as my panic attacks, they do not flare up like they used to. I mean, it is definitely something that happens, but that I can manage, which I'm so grateful. I can see it coming beforehand. If they do come, I can see them beforehand, but then I can do the preventative work because of the nature of my panic attacks were for unresolved trauma. Now I try to be very diligent about resolving things before they get out of control in my mind and in my heart. And that reduced the panic attack. So whenever I may have, and it's not, like I said, at all, like I used to have them where I will go to the hospital. So for example, now, if I have one, maybe I might feel kind of lightheaded. So when that happens, I immediately go, okay, is it that I have been ignoring? Maybe the heart racing, that sort of thing. But I really try to stay on top of it, stay on top of dealing with things, not have unresolved issues, because those definitely are a trigger. Or even if something triggers something from my past, being able to talk about it quickly so that it doesn't just sit there. And yes, and then I'm creating myself a full-blown problem that I can very well avoid.
Definitely. And it's like any family member, we can overlook it or be unforgiving, or we want to move on. But that little child is a blessing in a way. It keeps you grounded, more compassionate towards yourself, towards others. So she is there for a reason. So yeah, that's great. Well, it's very hopeful to see that the work that you're doing is really working in your life. There's a difference between being aware of your triggers and being afraid of them. Sometimes being aware brings all the anxiety, but because we don't really deal with them, right? There's something in the fear, the anxiety, that carries a message, and it's a hopeful message. It's something meaningful. And oftentimes people try to avoid it instead of doing the quiet time. We just watch a movie that distracts us, or we just stay busy. And so it's that mindfulness, being aware, that helps you prevent the panic attack. What advice do you have? General advice, anything at all for those facing trauma, who have gone through trauma, who haven't started? Where do they start, and how can they get the support that will be helpful, the hope that they need?
A That's a good question. First, let me clarify, right? I'm not a professional therapist. I do life coaching, and some of the clients that come to me may come for a specific issue, but then sometimes they may need to seek a much more deeper professional help. You ask, what will be the advice for those who are facing trauma, or even they may not even be aware? For me, what I see is the body gives you signals. The body gives you signals. Things trigger. And kind of how you said earlier, don't ignore those things, because they are alerting you to something. Prior than me getting my diagnosis for panic attacks and the PTSD, here's how I will describe my life before that. I will have these attacks and I didn't know what to do with them. So I will think about it as if there's a fire and I'm constantly trying to put out this fire, and I'm by trying to put out the fire, hoping I don't get burned. Once I realized, and I, not only did I get the diagnosis, but once I started seeing the pattern, whoa, okay, these are the things that are happening to my body. These are the things that are triggering. Before I let it completely get out of control, then I have to do the preventative work. And so the fire is there and we put it out, but then sometimes what happens is we want to live in that constant firefighting and not do the work to really go, okay, what can I do to prevent this fire from happening? Sometimes it's going to happen, but that does not need to be an ongoing thing. And so I think for those who are facing trauma or have trauma to overcome, first thing I will say is I'm very sorry for pain, the hurt that have produced or might be producing in you. And the second thing I will say is you don't have to live hurting. Many, many resources to help you move through and past these things in your life that are causing you to struggle. So that will be my advice, because, and it's one that I try to take on for my own self when I want to get into my own ways of thinking, figuring it out on my own. I don't have to do that. That there are resources and tools out there, many, that I can actually not be controlled by my trauma, by my, and that I can use it. I just need to be willing to do the preventative work.
That's great. Thank you so much. And for those who haven't heard the first episode, can you tell us again where we can find you and your website, social media?
I am on Facebook, so you can look me up, Olivia Hudson. I also have a blog. It's Olivia Hudson Coaching, Life Coaching. So you can find. And I'm hoping that Alexandra will be so kind and put that in the show notes so that people can find me there. But that will be the easiest way to find me is on Facebook. But mostly I prefer if people just go to my website, which is OliviaHudsonLifeCoach.com.
Olivia, it was such a great time again to spend with you. And I wish you the best with your journey with your inner child. Don't forget her.
Thank you. Thanks for the reminder. You take care.
Thank you.
Here are some key takeaways from this podcast episode. Number one, the inner child represents an important part of your being. It holds on to your childhood experiences, both positive and negative, and can significantly influence your present self. Connecting with your inner child allows you to understand your emotions and motivations better. Two, healing your inner child fosters self-compassion and understanding. By acknowledging and addressing your past hurts and unmet needs, you can learn to be kinder and more forgiving towards yourself. This can lead to increased self-esteem and a stronger sense of self-worth. Three, connecting with your inner child strengthens your relationship with others. When you are able to understand and manage your own emotions, you become more compassionate and patient with others. This can lead to healthier and more fulfilling relationships. 4, your inner child holds the key to unlocking creativity and joy. By reconnecting with your inner child, you can rediscover the playful and imaginative aspects of yourself. This can lead to increased creativity, joy, and enthusiasm for life. How do you awaken your inner child? How do you reconnect? Perhaps by going dancing, watching a kid's movie, or reading 5, healing your inner child is a journey, not a destination. There is no one-size-fits-all approach, and it takes time and effort. However, the rewards of connecting with your inner child are profound and can lead to a more fulfilling and joyful life. Additionally, this episode emphasizes the importance of creating a morning routine for reflection and gratitude as a way to connect with your inner child. So what would you do in your morning ritual, as Olivia Hudson mentioned? Healing is a beautiful journey, and often it's enriched by the connections we make with others. There's something powerful about sharing our experiences and finding strength in each other's stories. If you're seeking a supportive community on your path to growth, consider joining my Facebook group, 1 Minute to Glory. It's a welcoming space for connection and encouragement. I will put the link in the show notes. So remember, you are not alone. Until next time, be kind to yourselves and those around you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to hear from you, so please leave a review below or on Apple Podcast. If you found today's message encouraging, please consider sharing it with someone who might benefit. Your support helps us also reach more listeners. Thank you. Bye for now.